from the Bible, from John chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, do turn it open to John 1 and follow the words that Kerry's going to read to us today.
John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Thank you much for that rapturous applause. I think it could have been a bit better applause, but thank you so much. You can save the rest for this evening when you come here as well and enjoy some different songs from the choir as well. Thank you very much to everyone who's put in a lot of hard work to make all that possible. Well, Christmas is almost here, isn't it? How many sleeps left? Three sleeps. Thank you, Tom. Does nobody else know that it's only three sleeps till Christmas? Have you all gone to sleep already? Is school finished? Teachers, is school finished? Yes, I see a lot of very happy faces there that school has finished. And we're all ready, aren't we, for Christmas? Now, I've been going around a few of your houses in preparation for today to have a look at your Christmas decorations, just to see how impressive your decorations are outside your house. Okay? And I've taken a few photographs of your houses this Christmas. So for the first time this year, we, in our house, have put lights outside. We've never done it before in our lives, but for the first time this year, it's just really to keep up with our neighbours, because our neighbours have gone a bit crazy, and we thought we'd better have a go. And so me, Mr. Non-DIY expert, managed to climb up a ladder and hang some lights this year. But I've got a few photos of some of your houses here, if this is going to be working. Yeah, so there we are. So well done to three of you who have done amazing jobs outside your houses. I'll leave you to wonder whose they are, okay? But isn't it amazing? Is your street full of houses that have been decorated?
Yes.
Yes? Are you feeling a bit that you haven't done a great job with your house?
No.
Have you just given up trying to compete with your neighbours? Yeah, now I know that there is one gentleman in our congregation who trumps all of us in terms of decorations. Do we all know who that is?
Yeah.
Mr. Stevenson. So I think he's the one who has the most amazing decorations. So do go round to his house later. He'll be really pleased to see you. And Christine's already got the kettle on ready for you to go. But light is one of those most amazing things, isn't it? Don't you think? Where would we be without light? Where would we be without light? It'd be dark, wouldn't it? Absolutely, yes. It's not a trick question. It would be dark if we didn't have light. And you know, God is amazing that He's given us light. But of course, there are lots of things that bring light. Now, I've been opening presents underneath our tree during this particular series, and I've got a present to open today. It's okay to open a present before Christmas Day, isn't it? Is that okay? You don't mind? You don't mind? Well. Not very heavy, this present. I don't know. Are you a shaker of presents? Yeah. Are you a feeler? Yeah. Well, the trouble is, this. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, let's open it. It's a box. Oh, isn't that amazing? I get a box for Christmas, which is fantastic. And inside. Oh dear me. Oh dear. Lots of wrapping. Lots of. Oh, look. Look. Is that disappointing or is it disappointing? I don't even know what it is. What is it? Oh, it's a torch. Look, how useful is a torch? Of course, torches are extremely useful. I don't know, what sort of torch is this? Is this a head torch? Where's the rest of it? Cheapskates. Head torches. Those of you who go running, do you wear a head torch? Nobody goes running. Well done, okay. That's very, you will do after Christmas, I know. But Torches are amazing, aren't they? And light is everywhere, of course. I didn't mean to go backwards. There we are. Torches and car headlights. Have you noticed how car headlights are really bright these days? Have you noticed? On some cars, anyway. LED lights and everything now. But we can't escape candles, can we? And I'm guessing that for most of us, we've got some candles around. But isn't it incredible that a candle can produce the amount of light that it does into a room? That the impact that one small light has into a room. And obviously we've been, I think one of them's gone out now, but we did have four candles. Four candles, that leads me to something else that I better not go down. But amazing that this light, and if we turned all the lights off, Tom, we would be able to see the full impact of these candles at this particular time of year. Now the Bible reveals Jesus as light. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the light of the world. And I was trying to think about how would people who first heard that 2,000 years ago, what would they think that meant? See, because when they heard it, they would be thinking of this, just a candle. That was their source of light. That would be the light that would break the darkness. It would just be the candle. Now, we've got torches, we've got car headlights, we've got as many lights as we like to show us that light can be even brighter. But of course, Jesus being the light of the world is even bigger and brighter than that. Because right at the very beginning of the Bible, the first thing that God did was to say, let there be light. And the Bible says there was light. And we see the impact of that light. If you could see through that back window now, you could see the sun shining. And we'd much rather be outside than in here now because it's shining. But the light shines and it bursts the darkness in incredible ways. Now, of course, we carry lights in our pockets now, don't we? Has anybody got a mobile phone with them today? Would you like to get it out? You're allowed to in church for the only time now. Would you switch on your torch? Now, some of you haven't got a clue that you've even got a torch, have you, on here? But I assure you, you've got a torch on here somewhere. There we are. There's mine. Some of you, this is going to be the first time you've switched on a torch on your mobile phone. But isn't it amazing to think that in our pockets we've got light, powerful light, light that reminds us of something much bigger than perhaps sometimes our lives display, that Jesus came to be this light into the darkness. Yeah, the Christmas story is just a reminder for us of what we know already, really. What we know is that the world can be a pretty dark place. And in fact, in some of our lives, maybe right now, it feels a bit dark. Because there's uncertainty, or there's confusion, or there's doubt, or we're not quite sure how we're going to get to the next stage in our lives, or we're not quite sure what that next stage is even going to look like, and it all feels a little bit dark. And into that darkness, our personal darkness, but also into our world, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And it's that light that attracted people to Jesus when he lived here on earth. It's that light that attracted the shepherds into the stable to see what God had done. It's that light that drew the kings from many, many miles away to come and see Jesus and honor him as the king. Because they saw something so attractive, they were compelled and drawn towards him. And Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And in the midst of the darkness, you can come to me, you can be drawn into my presence, and you'll find a future and a life that you're longing for. You see, when Jesus was on earth, to the lost people, to those who felt lost in their lives, he brought direction, and light brings direction. To those who were lonely in this world, he brought love. To those who were the least in this world, he brought acceptance. And to those who were lost without a future, he gave a second chance. Because that's the power of the light that Jesus shines into the darkness in our lives. To those who are searching, Jesus says, this is the way. And he pointed to himself. To those who are fearful and unsure and uncertain, he said, here's light to break into the darkness. One writer says that the bit of the road that needs the most illumination is the point in the road that forks. When we're faced with a decision, when we're not quite sure what the direction is, we need a light to say, this is the way, walk in it. This is the direction that I want you to live the rest of your life. When you're facing a choice or an option or a job choice or a life choice or a marriage choice or to do with your kids or to do with your retirement or whatever it is, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. I've come to show you the best way, the way that I want you to walk. He changes everything in every decision that we face. And that's the step that Lucy's going to take today. That Lucy has encountered Jesus as the light of the world. Lucy's going to be baptized in a few moments. And she's encountered Jesus, the light of the world. And she's made a decision that this is the direction that she needs to follow. And baptism is the next step for her as she follows that pathway that Jesus lit up for her. You know, baptism is a very ancient and dramatic and powerful symbol of a brand new start, of a fork in the road, if you like. A fork in the road, and Lucy says, this is the way that I'm going to go there. And this morning we'll give Lucy a lasting memory. She'll never be able to forget today. And you'll never be able to forget today either, because you're here as to witness the fact that Lucy is following the light of Jesus. And it's an emotional experience, baptism, but it's rooted in a genuine decision to be obedient to what Jesus is asking of her at this particular time. Now, baptism is a bit odd. It's like having a bath in public, really, you know, and not many of us have had a bath in public, but that's really what it is, because Lucy's going to go right under the water, because the word baptism means to be immersed, to be soaked in, to be consumed by. And Lucy's going to go right under the water as a sign of the old being washed away, the past being washed away. If you like, as a symbol of death. And we'll be able to see her. We'll see the top of her head when she gets in it, but then she'll disappear from our view because she's going to be buried in the water. Now, how long she stays under depends on how many sins she's committed. So we'll time it just to see whether she's been good or bad. I did ask her mum and dad, so I've got a rough idea of how long she needs to stay under, okay? Her brother thinks she should stay under longer than her mum and dad think she should stay under. But no, it's a symbol of dying to the old and then rising out of the water to new life, resurrection, to something brand new. Now, Lucy's still going to be the same person when she comes out of the water. She'll be a bit cleaner than she is at the moment, but she'll still be the same person, but she'll have a new direction to follow. Because the light of Jesus shone into the darkness and has said to her, this is the way. This is the fork in the road. I want you to make this decision today. And so in this life-giving story of Jesus, Lucy joins in that story that God is writing in her. And it's shouting out to everyone here. She's shouting out to you today. I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm going to walk his way, and I'm going to follow his path, and I'm going to look to him as the light in my life for every decision that I take from here on in. The water isn't magic. I think it's just good old Severn Trent water, is it? Is it, or is it better than that? I don't know. But it's just ordinary water. But because of the moment, because you're here, because Lucy's here, because Jesus is here through the presence of his Spirit, it becomes a moment that we remember and we are moved by and we're changed by as we go in the direction of Jesus. Baptism is about identifying. I'm a follower of Jesus. It's about a sign of acceptance. I don't deserve forgiveness. I can't earn forgiveness. But Jesus, I want to thank you that you died on a cross so that I could be forgiven, because I need to be forgiven. I need to be set free. I need to go your way. And it's a moment of trust to say, I'm just going to trust you with the rest of my life. And I want you, through the presence of your Spirit, to continue to guide me and direct me with your light. Well, what better time of year for a baptism than Christmas, eh? To declare, you know, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to worship him with my life. And this is the great news. This isn't just good news for Lucy today. This is good news for all of us, that no matter what we've done in our past, No matter what sort of life we've had up to now, you know, it can all be changed by Jesus, by the light of Jesus, who came into the world as a baby, who grew up, who died on a cross, who took the sin of the world, all the wrong things we've done. He took it all, that our lives can be different as well as we come and worship him and encounter his goodness, that light can shine in all of our lives today. He invites you, he invites us all to follow him, to look to his light and to choose his way. Not just for Christmas, but for life, for every day that life has to bring. So maybe as we go into this time of baptism, as you witness Lucy's obedience to God, as you see Lucy following Jesus, the light of the world, the light for her life, maybe for you today, it's a day for you to make a decision to follow Jesus as well, to say sorry for the things that have gone wrong in the past, and to say, Jesus, I want to learn more about you. I want to feel your love. I want to know a future with you.